Today I have with me the creators of this new 5e module, Baba Lysaga's Nocturnes and Nightmares. Let's start by going around the chat, introduce yourselves and where we can find you. I'll start again. My name is Joseph from Epic Blunders. I'll be your host for today.
And I'm Anthony, also from Epic Blunders. I kind of spearheaded this project, and it was originally just going to be, 10, 15 pages, and then had a whole crew join in. So yeah, everybody else speak up.
I'll start if no one else will. I'm Prolific Lithic. Name's Cass. I'm kind of new to the community here, but you can find me on Twitter at Prolific Lithic. And I kind of just popped into a server where everyone was talking about wanting to share ideas. And we got to talking about all working together on one really cool idea. I don't know who pitched the initial big collab idea, but I'm on board. So,
it is definitely Anthony. Oh, I guess I can also use that as a chance to introduce myself.
Sure. I love it.
I'm Stasia, and I go by DM Stasia on Twitter. It's also my handle there. And I also kind of stumbled into this little group when we found each other on Creator's Cove.
I'm Danny Kotacek. I tweet as D&D with Plumbing. I joined pretty much the same way as everyone else, I think. Can't think of anything else to say.
I'm Jackson Wagner, J Wagner Dev on Twitter. And yeah, pretty much the same. Been doing this homebrew D&D stuff for a while and found this project, thanks to Anthony, and it looked pretty cool.
So I am Brian. I go by Bjork the Bard on Twitter and pretty much everywhere else on the internet. I write over at bjorkthebard.com, where I primarily give DMing tips. I've been a longtime player, but this is my first real jump into the content creation side. And like many people have said here, we all kind of met through the Cove. I specifically remember Anthony mentioning me on there and saying, "You wrote about horror. Would you be interested in a horror collaboration?" And I saw it and was like, "Yeah, that sounds amazing."
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you all for joining. I think I want to kind of start with a little bit more of a broad thing in terms of collaborative content creation. For those that are used to the Epic Blunder interview style, I would like to start with the definition of what collaborative content creation is. Would anyone like to answer that for me?
I think, Anthony, you have to get in with that one, really.
Sure, I can. Collaboration is, I mean, this is maybe less of a definition and more of like why it's a necessity, I guess. But collaboration is a way of taking individual ideas, mixing them up in a blender with everybody else's individual ideas, and then coming out with something way better than you could have on your own.
A product's greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, exactly.
Not always physical resources, but certainly mental resources, experience, techniques, all coming together. It's really good. Mm-hmm.
It's a great way of, if you feel like you've got some strong parts to whatever you bring to the table, but maybe are lacking, it's a really good way to say, okay, I have this that I'm good at. This is my strength. This is my weakness. Can I bring other people on board that can fill in those gaps for me?
Yeah, and I think it gives you an end product that has that kind of mixed in feeling that all of those different voices have come into it and created something that isn't anything that any one of you would have made. And having other people all sort of chiming in on all the various bits of it just makes it so much stronger. So it's really impressive how it can all join into one coherent whole, even though it comes from so many different places.
Yeah, that's spot on. I know coming into this, that, like Anthony said, I have certain things that I am good at, and then I have certain things that, I might not be the best at, I would like to improve upon, and just having this whole group and being able to everybody work together and bring what they're good at as well as their thoughts and opinions to the table really ended up making a fantastic project that, like was said, it's more than the sum of its parts.
And I think the other thing that really helps is that you can all sort of inspire each other. I think it's very hard sometimes when you're working on your own to keep the momentum going, especially on a really big project. And it's very easy to kind of get sink into, oh my God, you know, I can't look at this anymore, can't do another page. But when you're constantly getting new things coming from other people that you can look at, or some sense that, oh, I really should be finishing that because other people are waiting to see it, it just keeps you inspired. And I was really, really excited by this whole project, and working on it was really an amazing experience after working on my own for so many other projects. Generally speaking, it takes me until midday before I can really get started when I'm working on my own. But when I was working on this one, I found myself getting up at 6 a.m. to write down new things. It was very, very different experience.
I was just going to say that it's for me, it's been really nice to, as someone who's been doing this for a little while, but not a super long time, to have folks who are much stronger in certain areas than I am and get to see, you know, how they go about doing it and working on formatting and all that. This has been another major benefit is, you know, I'm able to kind of not have to push my weaknesses enough and let people who are better at that stuff work on that while I can focus on the stuff that I'm better at and enjoy more.
To hop on that a little bit, one of the things that this project really opened my eyes to, there were a couple things that I didn't even know were weak spots for me, you know, things that I thought I had a pretty good handle on. And then as I began working with this group and watching the quality of content in these areas that I were more blind spots for me than anything, I saw that, you know, there's a lot to learn, and there's so much more that goes into large projects like this than you really think when working on mostly solo projects. And for me, like individual pieces as opposed to a collection of work, there's just, it was a really eye-opening experience as to how much goes into projects like this and just how much is on the head of those, you know, creators who put this kind of thing together. It's wild. But having everyone around, it doesn't feel overwhelming. And I think that's a cool thing about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think like one of my favorite things would just be like when I'd pop onto like Discord in the morning, I'd see that like the chats were super busy overnight. I know that's like also half my battle. Is that I'm on the West Coast compared to everyone else on the team. So I'm behind the times. So I would do my best to try and catch up. But it was nice to see that like people had a really frequent exchange and flow of ideas on how they could improve the ideas that they were working on.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's awesome, guys. The way you guys were describing it, just sort of, I mean, we're all, you know, role players. And it just sort of made me think of, you know, a party and how not everyone's good at everything, but everyone's got each other's back, and the, you know, the product is greater than just the parts.
Like it's definitely a thing of you need to just like have the one or two things you're really good at, but then pool it with others and you can make a product way better than what it would have been if you just gone solo.
Yeah. So being one of the owners of this fantastic module, you know, obviously I've gone through it. I've looked at it, the classes, the creatures, the horror styles, the artwork. I'm impressed, thoroughly impressed with it all. You know, it was released just before Halloween, which is a perfect time to make use of it. And some of you touched on it already, but I wanted to see if this is a bigger thing. But what was the inspiration for this module? I know some of you mentioned Anthony had some thoughts. Some of you also had some other thoughts, but I wanted to see, you know, what was the general inspiration for this module and how did you all get started for this?
May I? This was actually one of my favorite parts of watching it all happen.
Yeah.
So I think the coolest thing about the way this all started is that the collaboration itself was more the goal at first than the actual project. It was an experiment of bringing all these creatives together for this one big collaborative project, as opposed to taking individual projects from each of us and sewing them together into a collection, which is something, you know, we were originally discussing in the early phases of it. The idea of the project was the project itself. And, you know, it took on this theme as we were looking for what to do with it. Everyone was inputting, you know, ideas that we had been working on and things that we could shop, you know, the initial creative strand into this one large project. But it started from the desire to work together with other creatives and just make a project. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's okay. True. And it was a sense of, well, you know, Halloween's coming. Maybe we could do something for that. And then it was like, could we really do that in the amount of time? It was such a short time frame that we had to work on. So there we were all kind of going, oh, that's pushing it a little bit. Could we make a good product in that time? And then we were, and like you were saying, we were kind of thinking originally, well, yeah, I've got this thing. We could maybe start putting it together. But before we knew it, we think we could make something more than that in the time. And we kind of pushed forward into it. And yeah, and it sort of formed itself around that. I mean, obviously,
it was what, like the start of August or like just about mid-August when we really like got it all together.
We were almost literally 2 months exactly.
Yeah.
I see a lot of flurry of activity when I was looking back on messages on like August 28th. Mm-hmm. And then the release was October 21st.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Like, I would say, on one hand, don't ever try this. But on the other hand, please do try this, because it's worth it to really push yourself and really holds everybody accountable, because you have the tightest time frame that should not be accomplishable, but somehow we pulled it off.
Yeah, the answer is just lots of quick spurts of work and like being able to like do some fun like working times. Like that's something I'd like to do in the future when I'm working on other projects with y'all, is orchestrate like some co-worker sessions.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing that came in the later stages. We started doing more voice chat meetings where we would actually like dig into the real details of especially the mechanics.
That's definitely a way that I like work really well with others, is having like voice chat opportunities, because you can flesh out a lot more a lot quicker than necessarily going back and forth over messages.
And I think
that's something we all realize collectively.
Yeah, it was amazing. They were so productive. But it's the obviously there's the challenge of us all being in different time zones.
And we usually find a good mid-ground for meeting up, although sometimes I think it's early for some people and late for other people.
Yeah, that was an interesting part of the entire process, was we've got Danny that's in the UK. We have one of our artists that is in Australia. And then Stacia's in on the West Coast, and the rest of us are kind of Central Eastern. So it was sometimes impossible. Yes, and exactly. So sometimes impossible to get everybody together. So it was kind of a, how can we get the majority? Mm-hmm. So go back to the original question. My initial plan or my initial idea was to tag one like art/items person and another guy who worked on the project, Colby, who goes by Hagiologist, that was also currently releasing subclasses like I was. And I said, hey, do you want to do something, the three of us? And the art guy said, I'm already booked out. I can't do it. Maybe some other time. And so I just kind of started reaching out, just tapping other people that I had seen some of their work and been interacting with on Twitter. And a few of the others have mentioned The Cove. There's a Discord server that we had recently jumped into kind of just for helping people flesh out ideas, which is hard to do on Twitter. So we had jumped into that, and there was specifically a collaboration thing there. So I just started tagging people and saying, hey, I'm thinking about doing this thing. Who's interested? And it started ballooning to 4, 5, 6. And it's like, wait, this person specializes in these things. This person is really good at monsters. They can attest to this. And Joseph, you see my house. I went to the giant whiteboard and I just like outlined out, okay, here's a potential thing. Here's a potential timeline. I did it in like 30 minutes and then just screenshotted it to people and said, how does this look? And that was really the start of it. It kind of turned from, like I said, a 10, 15 page thing into, we've got all these amazing people. we could actually do a full book. And, you know, if we're later on, we decide we just don't have the capacity to pull some of these things off, we just delete it. And for the most part, we really filled out the book more than what we initially thought. It was, you know, let's do a couple of subclasses, maybe like five monsters, maybe a handful of spells and call it a day. Yeah. And it just turned into a little of everything.
Yeah, I was excited to come on for the lore piece because that was what I like. That's my bread and butter. I'll like write little vignettes till the cows come home, really.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, you guys got what, 108 pages of content here? It's fantastic. So you mentioned about like the time zone differences and everything like that. Would you say that was one of the biggest challenges for doing a collaborative project, or was it finding the others? I guess that one's more directed to Anthony. Or what was there other things that just made it challenging or rewarding, I guess, is another way of putting that?
I mean, I'd say that, yeah, that was definitely like one of our biggest hurdles of just like trying to make sure that people got the chance to like participate in meetings and whatnot. And oh boy, days when I would like get to my phone at like 9 a.m. at my work desk and I'm like, oh, I have to like look at what all's been happening and see what people have been up to. That definitely makes the chats move very fast.
Yeah, information flow is hard. And you, when you're on Discord, you tend to have, you know, 20 different channels where you're, and you try hard to put each bit of work in its own channel. And it just never works. You always find yourself straying on one channel or another. So the information ends up slightly scattered around from one place to another. So it is quite hard to keep track of who's doing what and where everyone is and what the tasks are. But yeah, well, we tried as hard as we could to stay on top of that, and obviously it worked. But it was, yeah, that was definitely a challenge.
I'd say definitely to bank off that a little bit, scheduling was one hell of an interesting beast, at least, you know, in my perspective. I had not only, you know, some other events going on in life, but I majority work nights. So it was interesting to try to get involved while people were still awake, or, you know, while it wasn't four in the morning for us, 9 a.m. for Danny kind of thing. And I'm trying to, you know, catch up on the things that I missed during the day, put stuff in for the morning, and having this difference, though, it wasn't necessarily always a bad thing, because I could, when I got home from work, say 6 a.m, if I had some ideas, I could check the channels, drop, you know, what I'm thinking, and then go to sleep and wake up to one hell of an interesting discussion. You know, there is, of course, the back foot where I didn't get to participate in all of the discussions that I'd have liked to. But at the same time, it was never a dull moment, I think, is the best way to put it. It is a positive at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
And you do have to, as well, be able to let go a little bit. It's quite hard. You know, everyone's got their ideas that they really care about and the things that they've done that they like, oh, I really like this thing, that'll make a monster or whatever. And then, you know, other people will come on board and rip it to shreds or whatever, or just, you know, oh, I kind of want to make this thing and someone else is in that. And then they'll do it away. And it's not the way you would have done it, but it's fine, I guess, you know, a little bit of that. And
ego at the door.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You have to do a bit of that and be that the joy of working for yourself is, you know, you have complete creative control and you have to relinquish some of that when you're working with other people, which can be hard. We're all creative people. We're all, you know, we all enjoy making our own stuff. So so that while it's great to have other people's input and have other people doing stuff, you do have to be willing to go, yeah, that's not what I would have written, but it's still good in its own way. And it's better to have that mixture.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I will say that's something that just kind of comes with practice. I've been on a couple of other collaborations myself, and that's definitely a skill that you have to hone.
yeah, taking you know, constructive criticism, and also just knowing that there's timetables and, you know, like you said, the scheduling conflicts and communication just needs to be as good as it can. And just, you know, making sure that everyone is, you know, in a space that can be cooperative and creative at the same time is, I'm sure, both rewarding and challenging. But I didn't mean to cut you off, Brian. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, I was going to say to what everybody's saying about, you know, having to work together and having to, you know, present your idea and be prepared for people to look at your idea and go, well, I like this, but I really think you should adjust this a little bit and maybe change that. It's definitely like the end product is much better than, you know, if you did it yourself and was the only viewpoint on the project, but it's definitely a learning experience.
The back and forth between me and Anthony on one spell in particular, that went on for weeks, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes it better, though. Kind of emphasizing that, but it really does make it better, because there were a few times, subclasses or whatever, that somebody would present this thing, be super proud of what they did, and then two or three people would say, you realize how busted that is, right? And it's deflating, but at the same time, man, if I had released that on my own, I would have got eviscerated.
The larger internet can be a little bit more brutal when it comes to feedback, for sure.
Yeah.
Cultures.
We did have some reviewers who really did dig in. I mean, we had some people coming back. We sent off things for reviews after it was done, and some of them were picking those nits like nothing. And we were like, well, I am very, very glad that we spent all that time digging into those tiny details, because there are people out there who really, really do care about those tiny details.
Hey, I will say that was something I really liked working on the Wergos lineage, because I've only made a couple of lineages in like the past. So I was really open to feedback from what other people had to say about it. And I think my biggest hurdle was just when we were having the discussion about the necrotic piece to it, because I had initially not included that at all, I think, in my own notes, and then someone had suggested it, and so I added it in, and then we had this discussion of, is this busted? And I'm like, I'm not particularly picky about whether it had this necrotic piece to it, and so I was happy to see the discussion go on about it, and we were saying earlier, that importance of being willing to let stuff go and have that discussion as a whole.
All right, yeah, that's awesome, guys. Was there, I mean, you know, there's a lot of creativity that is needed to make a, you know, fantastic module like you guys have. What are some soft skills that you would recommend for others that are trying to do a collaborative project such as this?
So as we talked about a bunch, being able to take criticism is so insanely important, because there's 100% chance that at some point you are going to be wrong, and if you haven't learned to listen to other people telling you you're wrong at that point, that's really bad. So it's also important to be able to give criticism in a way that people are more likely to accept it than to say, hey, you know, screw you, I'm right, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And even beyond that, also just kind of trying to understand the need for tone to be consistent in places, and mm-hmm. also being willing to you know, kill your darlings, right? Sacrifice things that may be a really cool idea, but they don't fit with everyone else's work, and they don't have a place in the thing you're writing.
Think about that is, you can just pocket it and you can use it later.
Exactly.
Saying you can't put what's on the cutting room floor into another project.
Always recycling content.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think another soft skill is just in regards to really excellent note taking for meetings. That can really help clarify when people can't attend meetings, being able to review what was discussed and have it in a easy to digest format. I think that can go a long way for helping projects go from one direction to another, especially when decisions are made about content.
With something this content heavy, also, I think the number one skill you need is time management, because not only are you working on something where, you know, you can afford to have your writer's block, you know, your personal creative process kind of thing with your normal solo projects. With this, you need to make sure you're keeping up to the timeline with everybody else, because, you know, at any point, if any other portion of the project hinges on your portion being done, you could be setting multiple people back. So in order to make sure that you're not only efficient with your own content, but able to make sure you have time to look into other people's content, make sure that you're able to participate in the crew, you know, as much as you're able to. It's something, it's somewhere that I, you know, I'll be honest, I flopped on this one. It was very hard for me to make the time, not only to make sure that all of my content was balanced, but to provide, you know, adequate input on other people's portions of the project and be able to give my own insight while working on, you know, my aspects of it. So something that I know I'm going to be working on harder for my next collaborative project, but something that I cannot stress enough needs to be handled if you're going to do something like this, is just general time management.
The flip side of that is that the nice thing about having a big group like this is that when there are life things that get in the way. I mean, yeah, Anthony had his whole house destroyed by a hurricane halfway through. That there's enough people on board that they can pick up that slack if necessary and you know, take up those extra roles or, you know, fill in the gaps or do whatever needs to be done. And I think that was really helpful as well. I think that just that sense of that you're part of a group who are all kind of buoying each other up. So I think in terms of those sort of soft skills, I think that flexibility of and willingness to dive in and just take the reins on something and not necessarily wait to be asked, but just do it and don't worry about being wrong, because that can be fixed later. It's better to have something on the table than nothing. I think is also really, really important.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And that's something that I've tried to remember myself, is that, you know, it doesn't need to be perfect the first time. It's the other people are going to see it. Other people are going to, you know, give their ideas. It's going to get its hard edges smoothed off over the content editing process. But that really important part is getting something out and getting something there that then can be worked on.
Yeah, I think it was huge for everybody to either be able to step up in certain points and kind of manage certain aspects and also be flexible enough to be managed. I think sometimes creatives are lacking in their organization. And so for somebody or a group of people to kind of be keeping everybody accountable on deadlines, on you know, here's the timeline, this is what's coming up this next week, and for people to be okay with that, because a lot of times in the creative process, it's very much a world of don't tell me what to do, I'm my own person type of thing. So the soft skills to both be able to kind of handle project management, but also be able to be okay with saying yes instead of saying no. In certain aspects. And I think, Cass, you mentioned partway through the project that you said, hey, I've got something I've been working on I thought was like 90% done, but watching the entire process from start to finish, I realize I'm more like 60%.
Yeah.
I think that's huge, because we can write all day long. We can come up with really cool ideas and concepts all day long. And to some degree, that's what you see being put out by homebrew people. There's so much. We probably actually spent more time in the editing, the admin, all that sort of stuff, formatting, layout, that people don't really even think of. You just kind of word jumble, word vomit onto a Google Doc and call it a day. But there's so much more involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, editing and layout is just so important. I think that's really what takes a project from looking like homebrew that you've put up for other people to buy, and then being able to turn it into a product that feels refined, feels polished, feels uniform in all of its writing.
Yeah.
I learned a lot of CSS during this process that I really enjoyed.
I think on the next project, I'm going to fit in a lot more on that aspect of it, and certainly learn a lot of it, because, like, yeah, as they said, I had a project that I was on the ropes to release, getting ready. And then as I'm watching this project be built, I'm like, oh, wait, no, my book doesn't have that. I should mark that down. That's just one thing that shouldn't take me. Oh, wait, no, we're doing that too. Oh, I didn't think of that. I should write that down. And like more and more watching what people wanted to add to this completed piece of work. And not only that, but seeing it being generally accepted as like, no, yeah, we need that. And seeing myself go, you know, seeing the suggestion presented, my mind instantly clicked of no, yeah, why wouldn't we have that? Right. That makes sense. But then realizing that in my solo work, I didn't think of it. So like these, all the, not only all the different perspectives on aspects that we know we need to do, but perspectives of, you know, more experienced creators and, you know, differently thinking creators of, hey, this is something you didn't even think of doing for yours. And like, it's very, very helpful to see. I guess I think I came into this knowing what my strengths were, but learning what I need to work on is probably the thing that I'm most grateful for from this project. Because if you don't know what it is that you need to work on, there's no way to start working on it and improving. So having those weak zones and strong zones identified clearly by working on a project with people who don't necessarily share all of your strengths and weaknesses is definitely a great stepping stone to progress, I think. So I feel like a lot of creators should take the time to work on projects like this. Even if, you know, it's a first time thing, step out of your shell and look into something like this, because you'll not only, you know, gain skills in the areas you know you're lacking in and be able to help people with your strong points, but you'll see things you didn't even consider. And that's so huge, just broadening your horizons.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of what you guys were mentioning there with the extras, right? The overhead, the layout, the time management, the project management. Would you, I guess, looking back, would you recommend someone more so taking the reins for that type of like managerial aspect while others are doing more of the creative content? Or do you think, you know, how you did it with everyone kind of picking up a little bit of that slack was the approach to go? What do you think would have been easier or could be easier?
I think the way that we did it, where Anthony kind of took the reins on those project management and organization skills in the beginning, and then the rest of us kind of came in, kind of got a better idea of things and had, you know, a very democratic way of looking at it and adjusting things. I think that was perfect because, as we said before, you don't necessarily need to have the correct timeline or the correct layout initially, but to have something in there and kind of adjust it based on what everyone needs and the scope of the project is incredibly useful.
And I think it's really helpful, again, just as much with the editing as it was with the content, to have the freedom to go, actually, people have their own skills and can jump in with those skills. But you don't know necessarily, if you assign someone to that role right from the start, then you're restricting your talent pool a little bit. So it's quite nice to have that sense that actually, no, any of us could do this. We can all jump in and do that to some extent, and it's all fine. And you know, each one of us can do a little bit of our own personal skills while still leaving it open to others. So I think, I mean, it sort of ended up with I think two or three of us really being the main focus on the actual lateral layout stuff, because there's only so many people that can work on something like that at the same time, especially because we were working in Home Brewery, which doesn't allow shared documents in quite as comfortable a way as it would if we were working in Google Docs or something like that. So we had to be a little bit careful about making sure we didn't simultaneously make changes to the same document and that kind of thing. So we had to be a little bit organized on that. And of course, with the time differences between us as well, that made that complicated. But yes, so it was definitely, I think it's definitely better not to decide up front, this person is going to be the one who's going to lay the whole thing out, because, yeah, what happens if that person isn't up to it at that moment or doesn't have the time or at that, yeah. So being able to say, yeah, no, it's fine, I can do that bit. It's all good.
Yeah, from the perspective of getting the project started, I see all the time on Twitter and other places, there are good content creators, producers, whatever, that do their own stuff. And they always kind of leave this little tag of, I'm open for collaboration. Well, if everybody's open for collaboration and nobody actually takes point on a collaboration, you're not going to collaborate. So I would say the most important time where you need to have somebody to actually manage a project is at the beginning. I don't know that we would have gotten to the point that we did or gotten anything accomplished had I not started actually hand pinging certain people. And then other people said, oh, you're doing that. Hey, I know this other person. Let me pull this other person in. And it became more of like a networking process, but it had to start with one particular thing. And then once that got started, then it was, okay, well, we need somebody to actually lay this out, so we're not just spending all of our time throwing out ideas. Let's actually get a format and we'll hold it loosely, just like everything else. And if we decide we need to change it later, that's great. But to actually start to outline, to timeline, that sort of thing. If you don't have that at the beginning, your project's not going to actually happen. I think that's fair to say. And we've even started a couple other books that I don't know, we can talk about it or not, but we've started a few other books that we've also kind of done a similar thing. One or two people are already taking point on that, setting it up, outlining it. But over time, as we get more involvement from everybody else that's on those particular projects, I think it'll be more and more loosely held and we'll have a lot more of the collaborative democratic process again. But I think you have to start with something initially where somebody is kind of calling the shots, but at the same time, they're not doing it in a dictatorial way.
I think that's so true, because you need that sense of trust. You need to feel like someone has the big picture in their head and it's okay. I think that big picture, it's like you say, especially at the start when the project is still kind of nebulous, you do need that sense that, yeah, there's someone who is actually just holding that part of it together. And that once it's all on paper and it's starting to actually be formed and people are actually working on it, then you feel more in control. But in those early stages, you definitely need just that sense that there is a person who knows what's happening here. And if I have a question, that's the person I'll ask.
Yeah.
I think it's very helpful at the beginning.
Yeah. And I also appreciate, you know, somebody who's in that role, kind of stopping in and checking up and saying, hey, how is X doing? Or what do you have for Y? And then it's like, oh yeah, I need to put an update for that. Or, oh, I thought I did an update, but I didn't. And it's little micro bits of accountability that kind of help keep everybody on track with what they need to be doing.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, being able to like check in on people can be really helpful.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds like a good approach there. A little bit of just accountability, road mapping at the beginning. Now, there was something that was mentioned was scope. How did you guys, was it part of the roadmap that you kind of, the quote unquote project manager was like, look, here's what I have in my mind. Obviously, scope creep is something that exists and projects can go from A to C to A to Z real fast. Do you then figure out if you need a bigger team? Do you pull more people in from, you know, into the collaboration? Or do you try to set a longer timeline or restrict the content? What's the good approach, at least in your experience?
I was just going to say, once again, giving Anthony big props, because not only did he help set up the main thing where we all signed up for work and we kind of did it under the aegis of, okay, whatever no one else picks up, we'll just toss it out. Like, we, you know, people will pick what they want to do, and from there we'll determine the scope. And then not only that, but he also had the very, very clear-sighted note when we were about halfway through making content where, you know, there's still stuff left open, and he and I were like, oh yeah, I can take that. I can do this. And he was like, okay, let's stop, because yes, we can make this stuff really quickly, but editing it is probably going to take twice as long as actually creating it in the first place, which I think really helped keep us away from scope creep, especially when we were already in the process of making stuff. So yeah, just big props to Anthony.
Yeah, having that kind of alternate voice where it's like, yeah, we, you know, playing against what you're deciding on to kind of really make sure that your decision does not have any holes in it. That is incredibly useful, because like you said, you know, given the chance, I know I would jump in and say, oh, well, I'll just pick that up. I can come up with that. And like you said, you know, scope creep is, it happens. And I know as creatives, you'll get in the zone, you'll come up with something, and you get kind of excited as you start building that out. And suddenly you've made so much that, you know, the doing all of that polishing, the content editing, the layout, that will all push you way past your intended deadline.
Yeah, for sure. I think it also helps when you have like a central goal that you've already decided on that being your goal. I know that Brian and I are currently like working on a project, and we've had some discussions that tend to go into this like creeping scope bit. And then I end up coming back to you. I'm like, okay, but does this actually line up with what our like baseline is that we want to answer at the end of the day? And then we're like, no, that's probably a little bit more higher brow than what we're wanting to go for, or at least like a higher skill level than what we're trying to work with. And so then we're like, okay, well, that could maybe be for like a later project.
There's another thing as well, which Anthony was very good at locking down, which was that we decided to start promoting it as we were writing it. And around, I don't know, 3 weeks in, 4 weeks in, we announced what the content was going to be. So we said it's going to have, you know, this many subclasses and this many monsters and this many spells and so on. And so once we'd made that announcement, then it was like, oh, we can't change that because we've announced it, that we've got, you know, tweets that say that's what it contains. So that was a very nice opportunity to avoid that temptation to add more and add more and add more. And I think, yeah, I think that really helped. I mean, I was the worst culprit for this. I added a couple of things very, very late in the day when it was all supposedly locked off, but I got away with it. But yes, it really helps to have a sense of, look, this is what the content is going to be. And I think part of that is down to balance. You want to have a balanced set of things. If one thing is really, if you've got 100 monsters in there, then suddenly your monsters chapter is just so huge that it suddenly overbalances the rest of the book. So it was very important to make sure we had a reasonable spread between the various chapters. And if we add one thing here, it's going to unbalance everything else. So yeah, so there was, so it was important really right from the start. We worked very hard to make sure that we had a picture of something that was going to be pretty balanced when it was finished.
Yeah, I think the big thing when determining scope at the beginning is knowing why you're doing your project in the first place. A lot of people will start with the what aspect. What am I trying to sell? What am I trying to put in this book? But knowing why you're doing the project in the first place really helps on any project that you're doing, because then you have a filter for everything else. Because the what can go through the why. What can we throw this in? Yes, we can, but does it actually fit the why? So when I was putting it together initially and trying to outline it, it started off as, let's do a bunch of subclasses. We'll maybe do some items because that's easy to throw in as an additional thing. And then people like Danny came on and said, well, I kind of like writing one-shots, writing adventures. Maybe we could throw one of those in. Okay, great. And Stacia came in and said, well, I really like doing lore. And have you thought about lineages? Okay, I hadn't, and I don't want to do that, but great, let's add that to the list. So really my scope and my why was, let's figure out a way to package a whole bunch of really good content creators and get them out there for other people to see, for them to be visible, maybe for them to be able to highlight some of their other products that aren't selling as well, whatever the case is. So my why was, let's lean in on what everybody is really good at and really wants to produce. And so it started off as a very, very small outline. And anytime somebody joined the project, then we could kind of hone in on what's their area of expertise. Great, let's add that to the book. And so our scope became based around our people rather than our content.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Very, very much seconded on that. It very, very much became like let's make something cool that features what everyone is good at. And I think if there's anything that I think is a 100% agreement between all of us, it's that everyone's strengths are showcased. Like you can see the love.
One of my favorite things that happened was shortly after it came out, there was a review and it was listing all the things that the reviewer really liked from the book. And somehow they managed to literally pick one thing from each person completely. Yeah, they didn't know who had done what. Yeah. But when we were looking, going through that list, it was like, oh, yeah, that's one of mine. That's one of Brian's. That's one of Cass. It was brilliant. Yeah, it was so fantastic to see that happen and to know that everyone has created something that someone really loves.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you mentioned Creator's Cove as the place where you all met and, you know, started talking about your strengths and what you would be good at. Do you recommend the same for others? Do you recommend them staying, like, posting their strengths just to, like, get the name and get the word out that they are interested in collaborative work? Or do you think there's a better approach for, you know, starting that collaborative aspect?
I think something like the Cove is incredibly useful because I know prior to joining and kind of helping with the organization and setup of the Cove that I would talk to all of these creators on Twitter, you know, kind of going back and forth, seeing what they're working on. But Twitter really isn't that great a platform for having long, meaningful discussions that you can follow. You end up making Twitter threads that amount to lots of little bits of text. So getting the chance to go over to something like the Cove, where we've got roles that you can indicate what your strengths are. There's a pseudo business card area where you can put, you know, what you're looking to do and everything like that. I think it makes it a lot easier to take those initial steps and start to build up because it's easier and better organized for finding those other talents and finding people that would want to work with you.
And of course, you can also potentially jump in on a project that's already there and ready and starting up. You find one of the collabs that are on there and go, oh, that sounds like something I'd love to do. I mean, that's pretty much how I found this one. That people are talking about. And it's like, oh, that sounds great. I would love to take part in that. So yeah, that's really, that's a very exciting opportunity when you're not sure necessarily what you want to do, but you do know you're interested in collaborating. You can just go in and find a project that's open to new collaborators and take part.
Yeah, I'd say that's definitely good for people who are looking to get into like publishing, especially on like DriveThruRPG or DM's Guild, is to hop into a server and see like what other projects people are working on, instead of jumping right into like creating your own content and releasing it. It can be really helpful because then, as we've discussed, you're learning the ropes and learning what you didn't know when it comes to creating content and then releasing it into the world.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. That seems like a great way to get started for anyone interested there. Does anyone have any other advice for anyone wanting to start or, you know, join a collaborative project?
I would say it was just a summary of what was mentioned before. But one of the big things is be prepared to listen and be prepared to speak. Leave your ego at the door. Accept that you're not always going to be right. Accept that, you know, not everything is going to be exactly as you initially picture it, but do it knowing that by talking to other people who have different viewpoints of the same thing that you're working on and are exceptionally skilled, that what's going to come out, even if it's not what you initially saw when the idea sparked, is a better, more well-rounded, wonderful project. It's absolutely worth the initial step into the water to start to swim.
I would say a tip that I would think of that Anthony kind of touched on early on is if you want to do a project, take the initiative. Go ahead, do it. Set it up, because I do see it as well that, you know, there's a lot of talk about setting up projects, but until somebody takes the leap and says, hey, we're doing this. This is my idea. And it doesn't necessarily have to be right the first time, but until you make that first step, it's not going to kind of start building up that project momentum that'll kind of carry it through to creation.
Right. Yeah, there's an adage that says a call to all is a call to none. So if you are active on whatever type of social media or blog sites or whatever, and you see people that are making things that you like, tap them. There are ways to reach out to them. Tap them, say, hey, I really like what you're doing. You can highlight some of the things that you absolutely love about what they're producing. There's a lot more to this that has to do with being a good listener and being good at observing other people. I'm looking at the list of here, and I don't see anybody in this particular group that is very ego driven and very full of themselves on social media, which is partly why they're here. Right. That anybody who feels like they're really good on their own isn't going to participate in this. So you can be active. You can pay attention to what other people are producing. You can be a good promoter of other people. And then when it comes time to saying, hey, I'm looking at doing a project, I need this type of person, I need an art person, I need an items person, whatever it is that you're doing, you already kind of have a short list of people that you would love to work with. And instead of just floating it out there and saying, hey, I'm doing this thing, I would love to work with random people, just tap them on the shoulder or virtually tap them on the shoulder. The worst they can do is say no, but it's likely they've been waiting for somebody to reach out to them, just like you've been waiting for somebody to reach out to you.
I think that's also kind of like another perk of working in the like servers like this, is that you have people who are almost like pre-vetted, because I know that among the content creator community, like there's always issues of like people taking other people's work, and like whether you're an artist or you're a like writer or anything like that, I know there's issues like that in the community. And so by being part of these servers, you can kind of cut out a lot of that confusion and use the networks that people have already created and can vet for. And you can feel a lot more confident about what you're producing.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say that we haven't touched on much, but was hugely beneficial on this project, certainly in terms of, you know, the things that I didn't know. We're all talking about things we don't know. So the expertise in marketing and selling and understanding that world was a huge part of what I didn't know that I didn't know. Several people on this, but particularly Anthony, was it's really hugely informed about that aspect of things, and just so many things that I had no idea about that were important to the success of this project and making it, you know, not, like, there's no point making the best book in the world if no one sees it. And so, yeah, that element of it, all the promotional stuff was hugely important. And yeah, there's no point making the best collaboration you can if there's no one on your team who's good at that side of things. So if you are going to do a collaboration, make sure there's at least one person on the team who's going to take point on the advertising side of things and promotional side of things.
For sure. Social media is definitely a hard one to navigate. I ran it during another collaboration I work on, and it's a job on its own. Like, I admire that Anthony kind of took on that helm, because I got a little burned out with what I was doing on my last collab that involved that. There was success, but it takes a certain person to have the stamina for it.
Yeah, and it's weird because I don't like promoting myself. It feels like I'm selling myself to people, yeah, in a way, and it's hard for me. So it's hard for me to promote my own stuff. But the way that I've been able to kind of tackle this one from a completely different mindset is I really appreciate and really like all of the people on this project, and I want them to be more visible. That's the type of thing that I want to champion. And so I've got a completely different mindset on this book than I have on any of my other projects.
I'm exactly the same way. It can feel really hard to kind of push your own stuff and not feel like a shill or something.
Yeah.
But when you're pushing a work that you're proud of that other people have put work into, you're like, okay, this is for everyone, not just for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, totally.
One thing we haven't talked about as well, which we absolutely should, is art side of things.
Yes.
That we were also very, very lucky that we managed to get hold of two really fantastic artists, which meant that we were able to put original art into it as well as see a fair amount of stock art as well. But that was such a huge benefit. And the collaborations need artists just as much as they need writers. And I think it's been quite hard, I think, for people to work out how to make those sides of things work together. But it worked incredibly well on this project.
Yeah, I guess it's worth maybe mentioning a little bit about the way that we approach this, which is none of us are getting paid up front. Nobody really fronted any money on this. It was basically a work in trust and a work both in each other, but in the fact that it's going to be a good enough product that it will sell. And if it sells, then we all get paid because we're 100% just royalties. We just have royalty splits based on what, work we put into the project. And we had to approach artists the same way because every artist wants to get paid on their commission work and they want to kind of license their stuff, which is great for them. It's terrible for zero budget content creators, which is why everybody just uses, public domain, images or stock art or whatever, because, if you can afford it, you're working for somebody like Wizards of the Coast, right? And we didn't really have that luxury. And so there are tons of great artists out there, but it took a while to find people that actually could buy into that vision, the big picture idea of I'm going to invest my time and energy into creating art for this. Also with the promise that with a better product comes better returns.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a little harder, but it makes sense. I totally get it.
Yeah, I know that part of it for artists is that artists have also had difficulties in the past with people being clear and following contracts. And so I totally get that artists have this hesitation. And so it really comes to being able to make that good connection with people and saying, making it clear that you're not here to, screw the artist over by any means. You're wanting to work together and both get eyes on your products as a whole, both for the artist's sake to get future work and for us to be able to create a really quality product. And so that networking piece is super huge.
And upcoming projects, of course, some of them are going to involve maps as well, and map makers are another big part of our community who also are not necessarily used to working in this form. So this is all very new territory, I think, from that point of view, to have people working on this upfront. Let's just get in their bases. And I think artists are understandably wary of this kind of thing because there is this whole well-established trope where artists will be asked to, can you do this thing? I'm not going to pay you. It's just going to be great for your exposure, and that sort of stuff. And so they anytime they get that question of, can you work for something up front? That's the alarm bell that rings for them. So you do need that sense of trust in the team that, yes, no one is trying to screw anyone else over. We are all genuinely trying to do the best for each other.
I think, that's another thing that comes, circles back to the benefits of collaboration discussion we were having before, because as you, begin working on these projects where you're not only working with and effectively getting vetted by multiple other content creators, but as you work with artists and can prove that, yes, you have that track record, you are good on royalties, you are good on making sure that they get just as much credit for their work as we're getting for ours, making sure that it is a fair split. The more you build your reputation doing that, the more likely it is that, your collaboration projects in the future will be easier to recruit that type of talent. And I think, working with groups, especially of this size, you know, people who know people you don't that work in different areas of the community, that's a great way for it to end up, you know, building that trust amongst multiple people rather quickly.
Yeah, the trust goes a long way. And like you said, for people that you've worked with and, you know, they know your reputation at that point, and it'll just grow and keep getting better at that point. So awesome. Well, you guys, thank you all for taking the time to talk through your work. And I know myself and many others appreciate this module. For anyone listening, you can find Baba Lai Saga's Nocturnes and Nightmares on DM's Guild and links below. Thank you, everyone, and until next time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.